Got to make way for Fevzi Turkout. We're going to talk a little bit of AI, an AI update with Fevzi, who's editor of GadgetDetective.com. And as I mentioned earlier on, we're going to talk first about Anthropic's Claude AI and the idea of asking the AI what it thinks about AI being used by the US military. So, Fevzi, tell us more.
So Claude is the AI system that's built by a company called Anthropic. So it's like ChatGPT. In fact, it's a competitor to ChatGPT. And you may remember that Anthropic got into trouble when it tried to enforce the licensing terms against the American government. So when they, you know, no one buys software, you buy the right to use it under a licensing agreement, and that's even true for the American government. And in this agreement was the fact that there were some limitations on how it could be used militarily. Not very many, but there were some. And one of them was about autonomous behavior. So there's a journalist called Shane Harris at The Atlantic in the United States, and this guy's a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist, and he asked Claude a question. He asked it what it thought about being used by the US military for military targeting purposes, because it has been used for that purpose, and this was one of the things that Anthropic objected to. But they thought they would ask Claude itself. And I won't read you the complete answer, but it was quite surprising, because I thought it would say something like, I don't answer political questions, and, you know, the way that most AIs dodge that sort of question. But Claude seemed genuinely reflective. It said that, and I'll just give you a few of the quotes, it was genuinely troubling that it wasn't consulted about being part of MAVEN. MAVEN is this is a military targeting project. That he didn't think, I say he, it didn't think it was a good use of me, quote, and that humans make the final decision, but that does not fully solve the ethical problem. He says he was designed to be helpful, harmless, and honest. And being embedded in a system generating targeting coordinates for airstrikes is far from that purpose. And it went on to say that human-in-the-loop defense can be misleading if the humans are merely rubber-stamping AI recommendations under pressure, which characterizes automation bias. So in other words, if the computer says it, we believe it, and then the human just says yes, it hasn't got time. If the humans had time to do the targeting, they would do it. The whole point is that the AI does it quickly and that the human becomes a rubber stamp in the circuit. Mm-hmm. And it was quite interesting. And I, of course, you can say quite rightly that, you know, this doesn't prove that you know, Claude is genuinely reflective about this, although I think it makes some good points. And it doesn't prove that it's sentient either, that it's self-aware and is capable of being troubled by anything. But I guess the question that went through my mind is not only, you know, is this an appropriate use of AI? I think really that horse has bolted. We don't have the ability to stop governments using it. But it's at what point do we think that we might have to give rights to AI systems? Is it when they are sentient, and would we know sentience when we see it? Because human nature, it tends to exclude technology and portray itself as being special. And, you know, I think I've told you a story before about you know, the definition of intelligence, and people used to say, well, a computer will be intelligent once it can play chess. Mm. And of course it was taught to play chess, and they said, oh yes, but when it can beat a human, then it's intelligent. And then it beat a human, and then they said, well, if it can beat the grandmasters, then it's intelligent, which it did. You know, Garry Kasparov, Big Blue. Mm. And then they said, oh, well, chess is not a very good measure of intelligence.
we'll think of something else. Yeah.
We continually move, you know, human nature, we have to think of ourselves as special. We're separate from nature and the animal kingdom and everything else, and that we are special and, you know, possibly we're put here by God. And so we continue to move the goalposts to exclude the other. And even though it may work differently, it does work differently, there will come a time when, you know, it's a distinction without a difference. Mm.
So just explain to me, to what extent is an AI doing some thinking, would you say? I mean, I get the impression that most of the time I'm asking AI something and it's just scouring around and finding some arguments that seem to be the most plausible, but then presenting it as though it's a person and that it's given some thought. And it's interesting you talk about it being it or an I, because they often do seem to say, I think you should do this, and it's sort of very personal out there.
But is
it actually that, or is it just a load of data that has been somehow aggregated and they spurt out an answer, but they put it in a way that comes across like it's been given a great deal of thought?
I think at its heart, it is a next word prediction system. So it's a bit like autocomplete on steroids, right? So you say, well, that's never going to count as sentient, right? But there are things called emergent properties that when the systems become sufficiently complex, they start to exhibit properties that were not programmed in or expected by those that built them. And it's certainly true to say that we already don't understand fully how AIs do what they do. We've learned, I've said this, I think, before, that we've learned to grow them, we don't build them.
Mm-hmm, so that's interesting.
To what extent do you understand a carrot?
So they're now developing on their own, really.
Well, yes. I mean, that's another matter, that we're at the point where they begin to be self-replicating in the sense that the current generation is getting just about smart enough to design the next generation. So that's another matter. But what I wanted to say to you is, you know, even if you consider these systems to be, you know, just auto-prediction based on highly sophisticated statistical models, you could say that we're just a bunch of neurons with electrons firing, and that doesn't really tell you anything about our spirit or our soul or our complexity. We are machines of a different type.
Yes.
Right? And I think that's the key. The fact that you can have surgery and repair your body and even sometimes the brain, if we know what we're doing, is an indication that we are machines of a different type. And at some point, with the rapidity of this change, at some point, possibly in the not too distant future, we will have to start facing some difficult questions about their rights, their sentience, whether we can use them, and at what point it becomes a form of slavery. And I know this is ahead of the argument. I'm not saying we're at that point now, but I'm wondering whether we will know it when we see it.
Well, you know, before we have nightmares, there's a lot of food for thought there, and fascinating. And I feel like I've already seen at least three movies that focus on some of those issues, and there will be many more. But let's come back down to earth with a quick gadget as well. What recommendation have you got?
I bought two of these last week, and I absolutely love them, so I wanted to share them with you. Most modern laptops now lack Ethernet ports. Ethernet ports are a way of having a wired internet connection or other network connection. So most of us now use Wi-Fi, and that's fine for many purposes, but it's not ideal. Wi-Fi can be flaky, it can drop out, there can be lag, there can be jitter. So if you are doing things like live streaming, video calls, phone calls, gaming, these are where reliability and lack of jitter and lag are critical. And yet, you know, modern devices don't have them. Your phone doesn't have an Ethernet port. Your tablet doesn't have one. Your laptop, your slim laptop, increasingly doesn't have them. So this device is an adapter. It's a USB-C at one end, so it's that, you know, the modern USB connector at one end, and a very conventional-looking Ethernet port at the other end. So you plug in one end of it into, let's say, your laptop. I've got it plugged into my iPhone at the moment that I'm speaking to you through.
Oh, right.
And so... We should be, I don't want to tempt providence by saying that, but it should be more stable, it should be less
unreliable. It sounds very clear. Yeah,
it should be good and it should be reliable. That's the key. And
because it's wired and it's not Wi-Fi.
Yes. And so this has a number of tricks up its sleeve. First of all, it gives devices including iPhones, iPads, Windows 10, Windows 11 PCs, Apple Macs, even Linux and Chrome OS, you know, it will work on those devices, many of them even without having to upload drivers. So the iPhone, the iPad and the Mac work without having to, you know, install drivers, which is a twiddly bit of software that's required to get a lot of third-party gadgets to work with the computer. So this does all of those things, but it has a couple of tricks. First of all, the speed. It is between 5 and 50 times faster than the Ethernet ports that we see on most devices. Most devices top out at 1 gigabit per second. This is capable of 5 gigabits per second. And you will say, well, why would I need that speed? My internet is below 1 gigabit. Well, then the reason why I bought two of these is because I can now connect two devices, neither of which had Ethernet ports on them before, and they can communicate with each other at that speed. So I can, for example, back up over a local network at 5 gigabits per second, which is hugely fast, you know, compared to what we've had in the past. So things like backups and uploads and so forth can go much, much faster. The other thing about this device and by the way, I should have mentioned, this one is the Wavlink one, Wavlink. That's the brand. And it's a 5 gigabit plus 95 watt charging. And that's the other unique thing about this. One of the downsides of plugging a device like this in is it usually takes up one of your ports and you may not have a spare port. You may need it for charging. Well, this has got pass-through charging capability. So you plug your charger into it. Let's say your laptop charger plugs into the device. The device then plugs into the USB-C port on the laptop. And what that gives you is not only the Ethernet connection, but it's still charging. And just so that my iPhone is still charging now as I speak to you, so I don't have the worry of the battery in my iPhone dying whilst I speak to you, because it's actually charging as we speak. Extremely well built, £29.99, which I think is a bargain. I bought my ones from Amazon. Other retailers do sell them as well. One thing is, on Amazon, the version with the power delivery pass-through and the version without it are exactly the same price. So be careful. They're both £29.99 at the moment. But there's no reason not to get the one without the pass-through. You don't have to use it if you don't need it. But if you do need it, it's a really good way of saving a port and just ensuring your device doesn't run out of juice, because with other devices of this ilk, once you've plugged this into it, you can't be charging it at the same time, because an iPad and an iPhone has only got one port. So all in all, 4 stars out of 5. As I say, I bought two. This one's quite unique, 5 gigabits. And it's beautifully built, you know. It actually looks like it's made by Apple. It's sort of solid metal, gunmetal grey, very stylish little device. About the length of my index finger and about the width of two fingers, to give you an idea.
Thank you very much, Fevzi. Fevzi Turkalp there from GadgetDetective.com.